Welcome to Created, an audio documentary series where we tell the life story of this generation's most prolific storytellers, content creators. I'm your host, John Fry, and today we're going to be doing our cutting room floor edition of our last episode with It's the Real, where we take a raw, uncut story that didn't make it. If you didn't listen to the last episode, definitely make sure you check it out first. In the early days of Eric and Jeff's journey, their confidence in their ability to waltz into doors of a venue could easily be described as futile. While they are now recognized as players in the hip-hop community and are welcomed into venues with open arms, one of their first experiences at a New York City concert would not only give them a taste of being part of the in-crowd, but would also afford them the opportunity to meet a legend in the industry who shared words that pushed It's the Real to continue their journey for the culture.
There was a thing called CMJ Week here in New York, which was College Music Journal, and they would have all these showcases around town, and every, you know, event space was taken up by some band or some artist or some label putting on a show. And SOBs, which is a very famous hip-hop and R&B and reggae spot here in New York downtown, had a showcase for Mark Ronson's label, Alito. And so people like Wale were going to be performing, and we were like, that'll be awesome, like, to go to, but we don't know anyone, like, there'll be no one who can, like, help us. And a friend of ours who we had only recently gotten to know was like, oh, I think I know, you know, the manager of Wale, like, he'll help us out, or Mike Posner or somebody. And we were like, oh, great. So you sort of stood in this crowd and, like, peeked your head around and hoped that this guy would, like, come to the door, and this guy would, like, be able to, like, get us past security or whatever.
Well, let me just say, we were so green, we didn't even know that was, like, a possibility.
Yeah.
Like, we were so green that it was like, oh, no, we don't have tickets. And he was like, what do you mean tickets?
Yeah. And we're like, I don't know. Like, and so we stood out there for a little bit, and eventually Dan Weissman, who, you know, was running things, came to the door and pulled us in, and it didn't matter. It didn't matter where we stood. It didn't matter what we saw or what we heard. It was like we're inside. And I remember the smoke in there. I remember that's like, you know, smoke from a machine and weed smoke. I remember the purple and green and yellow lights in there. I remember how dark it was. And I remember how hot it was because it was packed. This was like maybe the hardest ticket in New York City that night. And, you know, you have, you know, this go-go band from DC on stage. And it just, it felt like this was the only place that we could possibly be. Like, this is the only place we should be. And it was perfect at that point, right? It's like, it's too loud to understand what Wale is like even spitting, right? But it's like, we're here. And then I look to my right, and all of a sudden I lock eyes with DJ Green Lantern, who I just know from the radio, and I just know from the mixtapes, and I just know from his talents as a DJ. It's not like I know him, you know, personally, and it's not like I know him because he's not like an outward facing DJ Khaled DJ. This is DJ Green Lantern, you know, and I'm just like, oh my God, that's crazy that he's here too, except he's walking towards me. And he stops and he pulls me aside and he's like, yo, I fuck with what you guys are doing. Don't stop. What you're doing is good for the culture. And daps me up and daps Jeff up and then leaves. And I'm looking at Jeff and I was just like, what in the world did we just experience right here? And
I was like, who was that?
No, but also,
well, because, like, you know, I couldn't hear any of that. So, like, you have to understand that, like, somebody came up to Eric and that's, like, already a weird thing.
But also, Jeff went to Boston University.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. So let's take this back for a second. DJ Green Lantern was my favorite DJ. I would also say probably your favorite DJ, too. But, like, it wasn't just, like, oh, some guy who, like, we recognized us. This was my favorite DJ. I went to go see him live in Boston at a club at a time when it wasn't like DJ Green Lantern was killing it in Boston. Like, I sought out a concert with DJ Green Lantern. It was a very big deal.
And so to get his cosign there was like the battery in our back to get us through to, you know, 3 months from now. It was like, oh my, like somebody in real life who we looked up to sees what we see and respects what we do. And you know, you can't tell our parents that at that time. You can't tell, like, you know, even friends who loved hip hop, you know, they may have loved it casually, but it wasn't like, hey, like, guess who, like, you know, walked up to, but for us.
This episode was edited by Luke Himmelsbach and me. Narrations were written by Luke Himmelsbach. Mixing and mastering was done by Max Graham. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and tell a friend. It really helps the show. I'll see you all on the next episode of Created.